Hey, this is Gunn, and this is the podcast, The Indefensible Middle Ground. And I apologize that Tech Sully has been underneath his compound trying to fix it to flip it for a profit. And essentially, he just can't. He can't have time to do all the podcast stuff. So that's why there's been less Wiretap Wednesday action, weekend wrap-up action. He was supposed to do the Top 10 Tuesday last week, and so we've been behind. We are both very apologetic for that, but things must go on, and let's go ahead and do a Top 10 Tuesday. And this is one that's near and dear to my heart as I drive through DC traffic every day. The top 10 issues that people have with driving in the DC area. Now, a lot of people come to DC for different reasons, whether it's work or play or they live here, or they live in the area and they're just passing through. There's school. School is a big reason to come to DC. It's a massive college town. So I just threw this together really quick. I know as soon as I get done, I'm going to slap my forehead and go, oh, I can't believe I forgot this or that. But whatever. This might be a two-parter. Number one, and these aren't necessarily ranked. So let's just say number one, no merge area entrance ramps. In the D.C. area, that's Northern Virginia inside the Beltway predominantly, and Central Maryland surrounding D.C. and, of course, Washington, D.C., there's a lot of entrance ramps that basically just don't have any kind of merge area, which do two things. A, they make it very difficult for people who are used to jumping right on the highway after accelerating to speed. They have to readjust, and that's a very stressful situation because if you're used to driving in the Midwest or the South, or pretty much anywhere else in America, you're used to having a long merge area. There's a lot of no merge area entrance ramps on fast-moving roads in the D.C. area that take some getting used to. Circles in Washington, D.C. Circles are confusing for a lot of people because sometimes there are more roads, you know, coming into one side of the circle than going out the other side. So it causes a lot of confusion. You have roads that just kind of, maybe their whole purpose is to go into that circle and they don't really pop out the other side. And so there's a weird number of roads exiting and entering the circle. Another issue, and this especially applies to circles, is number three, too many signs. There's a lot of issues with the circles in DC, the traffic circles is what I'm talking about, where there will be a wild number of signs. And one of the biggest signs you'll see around traffic circles is no turn on red, which is logic defying because the entire concept of no turn on red is because there might be somebody making a left turn from the other side, and that wouldn't be a wise idea. But there is no possibility of somebody making a left turn to get into the lane that you're heading into if it's on a traffic circle, because it's a traffic circle. So putting a no turn on red sign doesn't make any sense, unless you're just solely looking out for invisible pedestrians that aren't really there, in which case you could do what they do in Northern Virginia inside the Beltway, which is the fake no turn on red sign, as I like to call it, because it says no turn on red when pedestrians are present, meaning basically you're just not allowed to run over people in the crosswalk, which is kind of a law, kind of a rule everywhere, but I get it. I get what they're saying. So basically you could either take those... You could take those stupid too many sign, right turn or red signs out of the circles, or you could tack on another tiny sign like they did in Nova and say when pedestrians are present, which would make some sense there. It would be adding even more signs to the too many signs already there, signs and road lights. There's a whole bunch of stoplights inside the traffic circles in DC, which I know if you're coming here from another country, you might be going, why is there a stoplight in the traffic circle? It's a traffic circle. That's they don't need stoplights. But yeah, no, DC doesn't trust you to know how to enter and exit the traffic circle, so that's why there's stoplights there. Number four, too few signs. One of the specific types of signs that there's too few of are signs that read 395 with an arrow, because you'll be trucking through DC following the this way to 395 sign, and then you go that way towards 395 and it's not there, and there's no sign telling you where to go. Now, of course, I know these tricks now. I know how to do this, and know when to turn left, even though there's no sign telling me to turn left to get to 395. But yeah, that's one of those fun things you just have to learn from trial and error and using your GPS, but paying attention to where your GPS is taking. A lot of people kind of mentally go on autopilot in DC with their GPS on, but you can't do that. You have to pay attention to where you're going, because there's a lot of points where you know where your GPS is taking you, and think about, would I have known to go this way if the GPS hadn't told me to go this way? A lot of times the GPS will be clairvoyant. It'll say stuff that if you don't know the area and you're using your GPS, it'll be confusing, because at one point it'll say, stay left towards the Whitehurst Freeway. There's no sign that says Whitehurst Freeway. There's one that says Independence Avenue, one says Constitution Avenue, and one says East Street. And you need to stay all the way over to the far, far left and head towards where it says East Street, and then go even further left after it forks in that exit, and then drive down that exit for a mile, and then you will see a sign that says Whitehurst Freeway. Now, your GPS already knew that that was there. You just had no clue, because why would you? You don't have future telling abilities. Your eyes can't see, you know, through the eyes of a bird flying the other direction. So, of course, you just kind of have to go by faith. But pay attention to that stuff, because it can help you down the road. Extra partitions. Extra partitions are a really annoying thing. You'll have, once again, going back to the traffic circle, you'll have an extra partition in a traffic circle that blocks you from re-entering the traffic circle from another part of the same traffic circle, and instead exits you onto a road that you didn't want to be on. And it's a little frustrating. Living here for a while, I can tell you that's probably talking about the Massachusetts Avenue bypass, which is supposed to not be part of the circle, but you can get into it. But if you're not from here, it kind of looks like you're just on the inner part of the circle, and then you can't exit where you're supposed to exit, and you're not even supposed to get back on the circle from the other side. Just keep following the loop around, but then exiting. It actually, the partition tries to keep you from being able to do that. So it's a very frustrating thing, once again, for people not used to the area, not knowing the method behind the madness. I almost forgot one of the too few sign situations. I guess this also fits in with the partitions, but this is more of a number three. Extra partitions is number five. I got to jump back to number three because I just remembered drag racing in Northern Virginia. In Northern Virginia, on the entrance ramps to 66, several times there are stoplights. It starts as a two-lane road leading up to a stoplight, and it says one car per lane, and then the stoplight goes green, and then one of you has to pull the nitrous and just knock it into the right gear, or like in Fast and Furious, and rev really loud and do some, you know, Whedon style flash cuts, and then your car goes flying past the other one in this bizarre state sanctioned drag racing, because the road that was two lanes narrows to one lane within 100 yards, and you need to be speeding up to highway speed to merge onto the road. So, very bizarre concept. I don't know who thought that up, but it's in several parts of 66. This state-sanctioned drag racing. I don't know if they did that because they were bored and they thought, boy, wouldn't this be fun if we could drag race on our morning commutes. That'd be great, right? Okay, extra partitions back to number five. I'm trying to think of another great example of this. I think also I would like to point out that the partitions in DC are square curbs, which means there might be a partition where you're not expecting a partition to be. There might be a curb jutting out to where you wouldn't expect a curb to jut out, and you could clip it and just smash a hole, smash an inch-wide gash into your tire because it's a square curb. And D.C., all over D.C., are square curbs, not like in the rest of America where curbs are generally round, you know, because they get kind of pooped out of that machine and they come out round. In D.C., I guess they think the square ones are more aesthetically pleasing, so there's these sharp square curbs all over. So if in low visibility or if you get ran off the road, you are going to have basically a machete that's the weight of a quarter of your car smash into your tire, which is a pretty heavy-duty machete action there. So the partitions, number five. And number six, one-ways. These are my favorite because I feel like I have almost all of these memorized by now, which I'm very proud of myself. One-ways in D.C. are not just one-way. Almost all cities have one-ways, and people, cities and even little small towns will have a one-way road here and there, and it'll confuse some people from out of town, but it all works out after a while. Well, D.C. found a new way to throw a wrench in the one-way machine that people have already figured out. D.C. has shape-shifting one-ways. The shape-shifting one-ways mean they change throughout the day. So a road will be one way going towards town. All the lanes will be one way. And the exits will be adjusted for the one-way pattern, which that is also confusing because where you would have normally been making a right turn or a left turn, if it wasn't a one-way, you then couldn't make that left turn because there is a temporarily erected extra partition, number five, blocking you from being able to make that turn. What you didn't realize is that you needed to be, like, couldn't drive about 200 yards back to be able to make the left turn that you needed to make. So, fun stuff. And I think if anybody's listening that has driven that part of the Rock Creek Parkway, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And so you have Rock Creek Parkway, which then after the morning, after it is southbound one way, after that it becomes a two-way road. And then in the afternoon, it becomes a one-way road northbound, which basically, this is a whole, they have a crew of police officers that go out there with cones and the partitions, and they have to block the traffic from the people coming in there. So basically, they when the last car goes through at 3:45 at the southern end of the Rock Creek Parkway, they block traffic, they put up partitions, and then they follow that car all the way to the where Rock Creek Parkway goes into Beach Drive, and follow that car out, putting up partitions along the way. So basically, they make sure that there's no other cars coming in, and then they open it up for one-way traffic. So there's other roads in D.C. that do one-way traffic at different times of the day. Sometimes it's just in the morning, though, so that's a little less confusing and something you don't need to worry about later on in the day. Sort of a tag onto this, there are roads that shift how many, with no partitions being used, there are roads that merely use more lanes than others. I think Connecticut Avenue and Colesville Road, north of D.C. and Silver Spring, those roads, you'll use two lanes during most of the hours of the day heading northbound, but then during rush hour you use four lanes and vice versa for the other side. So So sometimes the other side will narrow down to two lanes or even one lane for the other side. Very interesting concept, and it helps them unclog traffic a little bit. But moving on to number seven, jaywalkers, people standing in the road. So the pedestrian element is number seven here. One of the things where if you're a taxi driver or an Uber driver or a delivery driver, you're going to need to get on the side of the road. And one of the most infuriating things that people will do when they're waiting to cross the road is they'll just go ahead and step into the road about a car length into the road. Just like, no car needs to come here to this point. This is just the side of the road. I, a pedestrian, will occupy this part while I wait for my light to turn. Well, clearly that's exactly where you need to be if you're trying to pick someone up right there, or if you're trying to pull up to drop something off, something like that. And it's a little infuriating. The pedestrian's just straight up walking in front of you is another thing that'll happen. Not in designated pedestrian areas. In the middles of roads or even highways, you might have a pedestrian just kind of walk in front of you or run in front of you, which is a big issue. And I do want to come up with myths of the roadway. That's one where people think that making eye contact means something. Like, if you make eye contact with someone, you've made some sort of nonverbal agreement with them. You've made some sort of nonverbal pledge to them, and it's absolute childish silliness. Eye contact means nothing. Do not put stock into eye contact when it comes to crossing the road. Just follow the rules. Follow the visible rules that you can see in front of you. Don't be childish and be like, I made eye contact with the driver, that's why I ran out in front of that car. No, don't try to make eye contact with driver. You made eye contact with the driver, then you jumped out in front of his car. Good for you. He had no ability to stop his car, and that's why you got hit by the car. There's people who literally think, I made eye contact with you, that's why I jumped out in front of your car. Eye contact doesn't stop the vehicle. My foot activating the brakes stops the ton of metal from sliding into your body. It's not your eyeballs. You do not contain magic that can stop my vehicle. It's just crazy. You will have people jumping into the road. You have people crossing the road diagonally in front of you. Basically trying to find the longest way, the Occam's razor opposite of how to cross the road. And that's infuriating. You'll deal with that here in DC. And the bicyclists, that's number eight. The bicyclists are they're pedestrians when they want to be pedestrian. Are you serious with this? Okay, sorry about that. I just thought that I had everything that needed to be muted, and forgot one, the computer. All right, so number eight is the bicyclist. The bicyclist, there are two types of bicyclists in the DC area. You have the protesters and the daredevils. Now, the protesters are the people who, I always try to give bicyclists their fair spot on the road. I recognize that they are a vehicle, and I have pretty good eyesight and pretty good lane maintenance and control of my vehicle. So when I see a bicyclist, I try not to belligerently pass them or infringe on their space. And yet, while I was behind a bicyclist, giving him the space that he deserves, he, for no reason, looks back at me, glares, slams on his little air brake, and belligerently does a hand movement like, I'm going to be turning right now. And I had done nothing to him to make him scowl at me. It was just ridiculous. I'm getting brake-jacked by somebody who I would kill if I failed to properly brake, so it didn't make any sense. It's a suicidal brake check is basically what he did to me. And yeah, that happens often with a lot of the bicyclist commuters. And they don't just feel that they need their bike to get from one side of the city to the other. They feel that they need to display. And if you're a bicyclist and you're passionate about your rights as a bicyclist, I like that. I like that you know your rights. But if you are being belligerent to someone like me who wants you to know your rights and you are belligerent to me, yeah, I don't like that. I think you're a silly, childish person. That's my point there. I don't like that about the protester bicyclist. Now, if you just know your rights, you probably bike like that, like a person who knows their rights, for a few weeks before you become a daredevil. Now, the daredevil bicyclist, those are the guys that you'll see flying down the road at night, texting with both hands on their phone, just blindly going through an intersection, and somehow you kind of figure they know, because I've never seen a bicyclist splattered all over there. Occasionally I'd hear about a struck bicyclist, but I've never seen it happen, so I've never seen any of these daredevils get it by the road. So one time I actually did see a daredevil mess up and drivers had to stop just to not hit him. And so we're all stuck in the intersection while this guy on this bicycle, he's got his phone in one hand and he just cracks this stupid smile like, "Oh gosh, look what I did." And yeah, we all kind of laughed and I laughed, he laughed. I think one of the other four drivers pointing their headlights at him probably laughed, and then he drove off with everybody else really PO'd. That's some of the fun in the city. There's the bicyclists, and I am joking. There are plenty of people who drive their bicycles every day and don't cause any trouble. One guy, this was a story from a passenger, was that they had a friend from work who drove his bicycle to work every day, but he would always wind up in the emergency room because he would wreck his bike when he saw really pretty girls. So I thought that was probably one of the funniest things I had heard about a bicyclist in the DC area. So yeah, let's go ahead and move on to number 9, the tourist drivers. Now, I've heard a lot of complaints from my local friends here about the tourist drivers. And I have to say, as somebody from North Carolina, I can tell you there's one of the worst situations to be in is be in a place where you can't pass and you're stuck behind somebody with Florida plates. A tourist or a halfbacker who's driving around Western North Carolina just going, "Oh, look, trees. I've never seen those before." And, you can't get around them. So yeah, here's the issue though. As bad as it is, now the tourist drivers, once again, these are the top 10 issues of people driving in the DC area. So the tourist drivers are dealing with, 1 through 8 and 10. And that's why the tourist drivers are driving so bad, because they are very confused by all the weird crap that the DC area is throwing at them. Now, number 10 is one of the weirdest things that you're going to have thrown at you. Let me just start by prefacing this. Yesterday morning, I'm trying to drive through traffic and there's a guy stopped in the middle of 14th Street, and I honk my horn, and he stops. He's slowly trickling down the road. I honk my horn. He stops again, and is mocking me by violently gesticulating his arms out his window and making faces at me as I finally get around him. This was a grown man with his hands off the wheel, stopped for no reason in the middle of an empty road. Well, empty in front of him. It wasn't empty all over the road there. But, yeah, there was no reason for him to be stopped there. He's now got his arms out the window, is gesticulating like a child at me. And guess what his license plate was? If you guessed Washington, D.C., taxation without representation license plates, you would be correct. Number 10 is local drivers. Some of the worst drivers I've ever seen are some of the local drivers from around here. And you know what? I'm gonna throw some of the Nova people under the bus too. A lot of people say, "Oh, it's just Maryland, or it's just Virginia, or it's just DC." No, it's this area. I've been in the car with some of my good friends from the Maryland side, and the emotional driving is a huge thing. You don't like that car, don't let that car pass you. That guy thinks he's going to pass me. He's not going to pass me. Uh-uh. Because why? No reason. No reason whatsoever. Just an emotional thing. I wasn't going faster than that car, but I definitely don't want it to pass me. Half passing. Half passing is a thing that I learned in Maryland that is a huge thing. It's where basically a Maryland driver will just kind of get in your blind spot and just stay there. I don't know if it's an insurance thing or what, but yeah, you'll almost hit them because they'll be there long enough for you to forget that they're there. You know, as somebody passes you, you're like, "Oh, I'm being passed." And then half passing means they just sort of sit there in your blind spot forever. I don't know what it is. Like I said, it might be an insurance thing, you know. My last point about local drivers is the insurance thing. If you're driving around the Beltway and a rickety old car with a DC, Maryland, or Virginia plate pulls in front of you and slams on their brake at 55 miles an hour, you better have your brakes and checked and be nice and taut, because that might happen to you. It has happened to me twice in the DC area. Once in Maryland on the Beltway, on the Maryland side of Prince George's County, and once in Route 50 in Arlington. And both times it was a car with Maryland tags, I don't think it was an accident at all. I think it was very clearly, this guy's going to rear end me, and then we're going to lie and say that he was speeding and rear ended us, and get the insurance to pay. And you gotta be careful when you see a car, and it might not be a an old dinged up car too. That's just a profile. I mean, that is kind of the stereotype, and that ironically, you know, was the type of car that brake checked me those two times. But those are some of the things you might see in the DC area. Oh, car fires too. I've seen two car fires in the DC area. Like with people still in the car and then just being like, "Oh no, I got to get out of this car cause it's on fire." I've never seen a car fire. I've never seen a car like billowing smoke out of it, like bursting into flames. Never seen that before in my life. Come to the DC area, I see it twice in a year. Since then, I've seen a car just engulfed in flames. That was interesting. It was just, I lived in College Park and I was coming home, and there's just a car parked on the intersection of Edgewood Road and Baltimore Avenue, and it's just on fire. Just like there was a fire crew kind of like just waiting, I guess, for a little bit to like let it finish. But yeah, it was just on fire. That's the DC area. That's my top 10 reasons why people have issues with driving in the DC area. Check out our social media. See us on Reddit, Twitter, Facebook. We have pretty much unique content on all of our various forums, all of our various ways to get a hold of us. So check us out. And occasionally we'll be on Discuss, which is a way to comment on things. So talk to us. Let us know what you think of us. Give us a phone call, if you will. That's also an option. Our phone number is 1-856-67-SULLY. That's 1-856-677-8559. And this is Gun Sully from the podcast The Indefensible Middle Ground in Washington, D.C., saying, please keep talking it out.